Hey, Heather.
Hey, Jen.
What are you listening to this week? Welcome to season 4 of What Are You Listening To? The weekly podcast created to foster community through music by sharing the stories behind the songs that soundtrack our lives. Some of the songs are old, some new, all good. I'm Jen Tully, and this week I'm joined once again by my longtime friend and fellow Swiftie, Heather Garner. Heather is a lifelong educator, mom, and boutique owner. She currently teaches theater in the Keller ISD and founded and runs an online boutique called Hello 5-0, where she curates clothing collections for women who want to feel confident and stylish at any age. This week, you guessed it, Heather and I are going to chat about the album on everyone's lips and in everyone's ears, The Tortured Poets Department by Taylor Swift. We'll discuss our favorite songs, some not-so-subtle name drops, and Easter eggs galore. Which songs do you think we're going to discuss? Tune into our conversation to find out. And in case you haven't had a chance to listen to the album yet, we'll publish a playlist with the episode so you don't miss a beat. With that, let's get started. Heather is finally here. I'm not even going to bore you with the question of what are you listening to, because I know. We've been waiting.
Yes, you do.
We've been waiting for over a year for a new T-Swift album. I think it's just over a year since you and I were at the Eras Tour.
Yes.
We were like, when is new music coming? When is new music coming? So just for the listeners, to lay the groundwork for today's convo, we're going to just discuss the 16 original tracks on the Tortured Poets Department. We're not doing anthology. We're not doing any of the special edition bonus tracks. We're just going to focus on those original 16 tracks. And instead of sort of Heather's two picks and then mine, we're going to go through the track list and then we're going to kind of hone in on some of our favorite tracks. So we'll call those like our focus tracks, if you will. But that way we kind of just get to digest the whole album in one episode. So let's get into it, Heather. Let's first talk about like just initial reaction. So I'm sure, you know, both of us at 11 p.m. because we're Central Time Zone on Thursday night, we're like waiting. It was so cute. My niece who lives in San Diego had texted me like right at. She's like, are you listening? Are you listening? And I didn't see it until the next morning because I like put it on and like got into bed. I was so tired and then just fell asleep listening. So I was like so on it with everyone else in the world. But tell me what you thought. Like, so initially, like it's 11 p.m. on Thursday. We've been waiting, you know, I think when did Midnights came out? I think October of 22. So we've been waiting a while. Like, tell me where you landed. Where did it land for you?
Well, it was 11 p.m., just like you. And I did fall asleep listening, but I was very tired. So my initial reaction, you know, I couldn't totally focus on the lyrics. I was just listening to the songs, you know, just absorbing. And at first I was like, not so sure. And then when I realized that this was a lot of a Maddie Healy album, I got mad. Mad because I'm not a Maddie Healy fan. Just thought that was, I can go into that later, but I was just like, I wanted a Joe album.
Okay.
And it really was not much of a Joe album. So that was honestly my first reaction.
Okay.
And I was just tired and fell asleep. So listened to it in the next morning. And that's when I slowly started getting obsessed. And of course, listened, you know, closer to the lyrics and the Easter eggs. And my second thought was, what are all these names? Because there were so many names. And I was just like, huh. And sadly, it took me a minute. The Amy song, like, oh, that spells Kim. You know?
Right.
So that was,
yes.
So yeah. I was slow, you know, catching on to all this stuff. But now I can't stop listening. There are songs I'm just repeating. Yeah, I'll talk more about that as we get into each song.
Excellent.
But yes, now I see the true wizardry of her words. And
right.
I'm obsessed. So as usual, I was like this with Midnight. It took me a minute and it's probably my favorite or second favorite album is Midnight. So I'm sure this one will be up there with it.
Yeah. You know what? It's so funny because I almost had the opposite reaction. Like I listened through that first time and I was so excited because for me, all of the albums are chasing Folklore, right? Folklore is my number one. Yeah. It's my fave. Everybody that knows me knows, even though my favorite song is on Reputation. If somebody like hammers me about picking a favorite Taylor Swift song, it's New Year's Day for me. People know that. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that a little bit later too. But Folklore is the album that is like, to me, her like number one. I'd listen over and over. It's a top five album of all time in my list. Like love it. So everything's chasing Folklore for me. So when I first heard it, I was like, oh, I felt like we were going to get some of the stories, you know, like we're going to get some of the like fiction that she gave us in Folklore that I kind of liked. But I kind of like you was like, I was expecting a Joe Alwyn album about that relationship. And there ended up being a ton of Matty Healy, which for me was great because I know people don't love him. I love the 1975. Him as a person, like whatever. I think he's kind of like a shock jock a little bit, you know, like that's his shtick. And so I try to ignore it. If you've ever been around a teenage boy, right? Like, or my husband, like they're doing it for shock value. And if you're just like, meh, whatever. But I really do like the 1975. So I thought it was interesting that she kind of chose to dig into that relationship. And also too, how society as a whole, like you can't even almost say her fans anymore, because it really is like she has a societal impact beyond just, you know, what a normal person's fan base would be. Like in her comments on how to like society kind of felt like they had the ability or the invitation to kind of weigh in on her relationships, right? Like you get some of that in this album too. So I like that she set us up to think we were getting, or we set ourselves up to think we were getting this big album about Joe. And then it ended up being about a lot of other things. And as you mentioned, like if you go through Anthology, oh man, it gets deep. Like she definitely has the final say with Kim Kardashian and all that. So I'm definitely encouraging people to go the Anthology route. But for the purposes of our half hour show, we decided to, you know, hone in there. But I think let's jump into the track list then, because one of my focus tracks is the very first song. This one had me from the beginning. It's called Fortnite. This is her collab with Post Malone, who I also love, love, love. I think that Post Malone is like super underrated, and like a shout out for him. If you've not watched his Tiny Desk concert on NPR, it's so worth it. Like if all you know is like circles and he's like super auto-tuned and blah, 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 watch his Tiny Desk concert. You will change your mind forever about Post Malone. He's so good. But the song, oh, I love everything about it. I love the words. And she's, you know, she's really been open about how sometimes she'll just take a word that she likes and craft a song around it. Like something that's a word that people don't say very often, but that she thinks is a cool word. And you see that all the time in her music. And I think this is like a classic example of that. Like, you know, with Fortnite, like, and then everybody has to Google, like, how many days is a Fortnite? You know, like, but she really does. Like, I think she is so good at taking those words, like in our vernacular that people know and have heard. But she just makes them interesting again because she found them interesting in the first place. And so she serves them up for all of us to kind of redigest. And I love that. I love that. And I love that about this song. Tell me what you thought about the opening track. Was Fortnite one that grabbed you from the beginning? I know you said you were kind of slow to warm up to it. Where does it sit now for you?
Honestly, it's not like my top three. Okay. Or I think it's beautiful. I love that Post Malone is a part of it. I don't know what I was expecting with it, but also as an elementary teacher, the word Fortnite is game. A video game.
Right. Yeah.
And so and I know it's spelled differently, but I was just, I don't know. I didn't know what my expectation was of this song. It wasn't it. But I do love it. I think it's beautiful. It just wasn't one of those that I'm probably going to be playing over and over again. I may eat my words later I don't know. I like her catchy. I like Taylor's catchy music, you know, early Taylor. So I think that's why Midnights and this one took me a while to warm up to. There's just not a lot of catchy. So, and I don't know what I expected with Post Malone, but it wasn't what he did on this song. So,
right. And maybe more upbeat, with Post Malone. Yeah. And I think too, I think another thing that I loved about this one, or that sucked me in, that maybe made me partial to it, is that we get another like affair story, right? And one of my favorites on Folklore is Illicit Affair. I just love that song. I like the imagery. I like the, again, she turns a phrase like nobody's business. So this kind of reminded me, this brought me back to like the Augustine, Betty James situation that, you know, I really was living in Folklore. And so I definitely liked that, you know, that I got a little bit more of that in a different way with this song. And, you know, I love the line when she says she feels like mornings are Mondays stuck in an endless February.
Yes. I mean, that spoke to me for sure.
Right. As a teacher.
I love that line too.
And then the video, if you haven't taken a second to watch the video, the video is worth checking out. You know, you get like this really great, it's not a spoiler alert because it's been everywhere, but Ethan Hawke and Josh Charles make an appearance. So if you're an old school fan of Dead Poets Society, you sort of get that she's kind of pulled them in, this Todd and Knox Overstreet character that I love so much from Dead Poets Society. So I definitely loved seeing them in the video as well. And, you know, that she and Post Malone sort of switch faces, where she's got the face tattoos and he's, you know, clean face. So definitely too, I loved the video. So for me, Fortnite just presented like a whole package. And I think that's why I glommed onto it. And as she starts releing like more videos and other things from the other tracks, I'm sure that they'll start to resonate in a more like full sense way. But I get what you're saying though, too, about maybe expecting something different in the collab with Post Malone. And I will say, I did want a little bit more Post Malone. It was like Snow on the Beach, right? With that first version that came out. I wanted a little bit more Lana Del Rey. And so same with this one. Like I wanted a little bit more Post Malone, but I still really did love this track a lot. It's one that I will be going back to. Yeah. Let's move on to the second then. This could be polarizing because it's this one's for sure. I mean, everybody's speculating. She hasn't come out and said anything, but everybody's in pretty full agreement that track too, which is The Tortured Poets Department, is definitely about Maddie Healy.
Yes, which shocked me because I thought for sure it was Joe with his whole Tortured Poet text thing. But yeah, that shocked me.
Did you like this track?
This
I do too.
I did. Yeah, it's one of them. I have listened to this one multiple times. Yeah. I really like it.
I do too.
It spoke to me. Yeah.
Well, and this
like I said, it was about Maddie. And so I was like really trying to dig in because I feel like I know nothing about. I'm one of those Swiftie fans that I love when she shares her personal things. And she does that. I think there's a whole lot of fans out there that cling on to her personal stories and feel like she's one of their best friends because she's so open in her music with all of her private life. And I felt that way with this one too. I was like, okay, I'm getting some more understanding. And that was this one for me.
Yeah, I liked it. And this was one of those two where she did drop a lot of different names of people. But I do love, I like the refrain that she goes back to with, "You're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. This ain't the Chelsea Hotel. We're modern idiots." And I was like, again, she's like nailed it.
Yes.
So, and then we like cruise on in. We stay like the first four tracks, I felt like we kind of stayed in this sort of like mellow zone. And that's when I started to be like, all right, like I hope this picks up. But we like sort of ease into track three, which this one, I love the title of this song, "My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys." Yeah. Like, for that, I'm like, I have to, like, this song I'm excited about just because I love the title. But this one also delivered for me. I liked this one. I thought it was, I thought this one was an interesting take. And I don't know, I mean, stuff is still being revealed all the time, but I don't know who this one's about. This one,
I don't. Either. I kind of feeling more Joe-ish for some reason, but I don't know. I was going to ask you who you thought it was. And that's why I kept listening to this one over and over, because I'm like being a detective trying to figure it out, but I couldn't.
Well, and you never know when she's going to jump like all the way back, you know, and she's going to take us to some relationship, you know, from 100 years ago. Like, I'm always like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's. I still think there's some Jake songs in there every now and then, or lyrics. You know, I'm like, she's still hurt over that one.
Still reeling from that one. Well, and I read somewhere too. It's one of the anthology tracks. I can't even remember which one, but I think one of them also is harkening back to John Mayer, where she's you know, still talking about, and I think the issue there was similar to the one with Jake, where it was that age difference thing that really like bummed her out about those relationships, like ending the way they did, and sort of the assumptions that were made about her age versus theirs and all of the things.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I don't remember the title of that song, but that's the one I was like, is this Jake? You know?
Yeah.
I've sort of erased John Mayer out of Taylor's life. So.
He doesn't count anymore. We're moving on, John. We're moving on.
That's how it was with Maddie. So.
And I was kind of rooting for her and Maddie. I know I was in the minority. Oh. I know. But I love the 1975. I just do.
I mean, as a singer, yes. But
as a human.
Not for my Taylor, okay? Right. Not for Taylor.
I know. Well, we'll get there probably when we get to the Alchemy, spoiler alert, but we'll weigh in on current boy situation. All right. So then we head into a song that both of us actually love as a focus track. And this is definitely like one of my top two on, like, I love this song so much. And the song is called Down Bad. So tell me, I know this was one of your focus tracks, so help me understand why it was Down Bad for you.
All right. It is a little more catchier than some of her others. So that I'm just attracted to those catchy songs. This was the first one I found myself singing, like just on my own. But not too long ago, my 18-year-old daughter said, Mom, why do you like all of Taylor Swift's angry songs? I was like, those are, like, most of my favorite songs are her anger songs, where I can just scream and and get out, I guess, all the pent up anger. And then the way she says things, you know, she's just such a beautiful writer that what I'm feeling just comes out. And this is one of those angry songs for me that I can just scream the F word multiple times. And I'm like, yes, you know. And it just, I don't know. It's just one of those, I see myself getting in my car, driving down the road and screaming, and then showing up at wherever I'm going, be like, okay, I can do this today, and get out and be like, I got everything out. But also it opened my eyes to how bad Maddie Healy hurt her, which made my anger even more for that man. And I was like, no, you know, I was shocked that I just thought he was a blip, you know, and that just shows we don't know everything. Of course, we think we know everything about Taylor Swift, and we don't. She shares what she wants. She's mastermind, of course.
Exactly.
So that's a lot of these songs shocked me, that I thought for sure she was like, just, I don't want you, Mr. Maddie, get out of my life. But I think it wasn't that way. And so this one shocked me with that too. That was my main points on that one, but I love it.
I do too. And this one was the first one where I really, the first one on this album where I really started to feel, her influences bleed in a little bit more, right? Like you can tell, like, the people that she's collabed with are people that she loves. She's really open and honest about that. And you can sort of like hear them seeping in a little bit. Like, as we go down the track list, I'll make some more references to kind of illustrate the point. But this is one where I thought, like, oh, you know what? This could be a boy genius song. You know, like, she was on tour with a few dates with Boy Genius. Like, there's another song as we cruise down here that I'm like, oh, this could be a Lana Del Rey song. Like, you can start to hear these people that she loves and collaborates with kind of influencing her music. And that was my... That was my first thought when I heard this, was like, oh, I feel like this could be a boy genius song. And the way you're talking about loving an anger song, I love the way she lets me live out like a full relationship in my head.
Yes.
You know, like I spent so much, I was kind of a late bloomer. And so I spent a lot of time where, like, when I was young, relationships just lived in my head. They weren't happening in real life. I wasn't like serial dater or, you know, any of these things. So I was having all of these relationships in my head. And I love that she lets you do that. Like, she shares the happy times, the longing, the wanting from afar, the obsessed boy that doesn't love you back. Like, you get to go through all of that without any real life risk. And I think that is part for me of what makes her music so amazing. Like, it just, it's, you get to really go through it in a 4-minute song.
I agree. And then if you have lived through anything like that, the memories and reliving and, gosh, I could have done it this way. Or if I had this kind of confidence, if she'd only been around then, you know, and given me this advice, you know, I would do things differently. And that's another thing. She just writes what is in a lot of our heads and hearts and things that I think a lot of people don't have the words or can't put into words. She puts it into exactly what we want to say or how we were feeling. She puts that into words. And it's like, wow, you know, you should get into it. But I agree with the whole fantasy type thing. This is how it would go. Or, you know, if you haven't experienced it, you definitely feel it through her words. And you'll be prepared when you do experience it or whatever.
Exactly. And hopefully a lot more confident and able to maintain boundaries and things than we were maybe when we were growing up with some artists. So. I love
her back in the day.
I know. I wish we did. I wish we did. I'm glad we have her now, though.
Yeah.
And this one is like that, you know, just the, and I love Down Bad. Like, you know, you're in a school, you hear this all the time. Like, my teenager's always talking about somebody's down bad for somebody, you know? So I love too that this, it captures like a cultural catchphrase in the moment, you know, the way like music from the 80s, if you hear like awesome or tubular or like some like catchphrase from then, it captures that moment in time. Like, I love that this, you know, kind of captures that silliness in the vernacular that we're having right now, or that, you know, some of the slang that people are using.
Definitely.
All right, and as we cruise on down, your second focus track is just right after Down Bad, as we move into So Long London. So this is another one that you loved. And now that we've gotten kind of halfway through, or we're getting into, and I think I might know now why this one was a fave. This one kind of maybe delivered for you finally.
Yes, it's a Joe song, right? And you know, Taylor's my best friend, and I needed closure with the whole Joe relationship because I felt like that the breakup came out of the blue. I guess I was just, living in, Taylor's, this is it for her. And I don't know. Once they broke up, I was like, what happened? You know, just like a lot of Swifties. Like, I thought they were perfect, blah, blah, blah. Little did I know, you know, Joe is something. So it just gave a lot of insight on I think who he was or is or whatever, and what was going on in the relationship. And just, like I said, gave me closure. You know, I felt like when they broke up, it actually hurt me.
Right? It and, was, you know, though.
They announced it right before we went to her Eras Tour concert. Mm-hmm. And I remember I kept saying, well, she's hurt. She's hurt. You can see it, you know, when she's singing, you know, it's too soon, too raw, you know.
Yes.
And so I was very invested in the breakup. And this to me was like, oh, okay. I felt so much better after listening to it. And let's get rid of Joe. It just truly gave me closure. And that's why I love this song.
Well, and I felt like it was kind of like if the lakes is the beginning, like this is the ending, right? Like she booked, she bookends it really nicely for us too, where we can kind of like just put the Joe chapter like back up on the shelf and we're all good. Like, so I loved it too. Yes. And I have to like shout out because the whole album, like if you're just like skipping through and like getting to that song you like, you're always going to stop on this track because of that opening. I love the opening of this song so much. It's so good. And this is the song that I was saying I felt like could also be like a Lana Del Rey song. Like, again, I feel like you can hear her, the people that she loves, like coming into the music a little bit. And so I've dug that part about it too. And so then like here we come to track six, which is But Daddy, I Love Him, which is great. And this is all about, I mean, word on the street is that this one is about her, like kind of her fans and how they were all over her about this Maddie Healy relationship. And, you know, I think at the end she says something to the effect of like, I'm the only one that can disgrace myself, or like, I'm the only one that can ruin my name. Like, you can't do it for me. And again, I'm just like, boss move. Where was she when I was 15?
I'm for real. For real. Yeah. That's what I've been saying. I did feel guilty listening to this song. I still feel guilty. Because yes, I was very judgy about Maddie Healy, but you know, I only want the best for you, Taylor. I only want the best. So yeah, I did feel like she was talking to me, but I did also get that you go girl, you know, I always do with her because she is such a boss.
She really is. And I like that track too. I like But Daddy, I Love Him. It's another one that's like, I feel like the middle, like for me, it was like the first track, last track. And then you kind of like the middle, I feel like are tracks that I'm going to listen to, but I don't have to listen to all the way through. I can kind of pick and choose what mood I'm in for the day. And I will say like, I loved Fresh Out the Slammer, track seven, another, like, I love the title. This was another fave. Like, she does, like, longing for the wrong guy, like, nobody else. Like, that's kind of one of her sweet spots for me. But this is where I have to, like, here's where I'm going to have an unpopular hot take, maybe. I am ready. This album is great. I'm going to listen to it forever. Next album, I'm going to just ask for it. I'm going to put it in the universe. I'm ready for her to move on from Aaron Dessner and Jack Antonoff. Because I feel like I can go through the track list and I can tell you, oh, this is an Aaron-produced song. Oh, this is a Jack-produced song. Oh, this is Aaron. Oh, this is Jack.
For sure.
Aaron, Jack. And so I feel like it's getting a little bit predictable. Like you're hearing, like, remember the first time you heard Mastermind and the cool, like, you know, like the cool, like, synth and stuff. And like, I'm hearing it again. Like, it's creeping in. And then you get, like, the heavy piano with Aaron Dessner that sounds super like The National. And so now it's starting, like, halfway through, I started to feel like it was getting, like, a little bit predictable. And so I was like, all right, it's time. It reminds me of, I was saying this to my husband, to Patrick, last night. It reminds me of when Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys was producing everybody. And you turned on the radio, and everything just sounded like the Black Keys. I'm like, all of her albums now just feel like firmly stamped with Jack Antonoff and Aaron Dessner, which I love, but I'm kind of ready for her to like find that new collab situation from a production standpoint that's going to be the next thing that gets her through.
I agree. And I think that's why when I listened to it for the first time, I was kind of like, same old stuff we've been getting lately. I am also ready for something new. I don't know. I mean, she's a genius. She will figure it out, but
she will.
I don't know what I'm ready for, but let's change it up a bit. You know, she's changed multiple times, I feel, you know, through her career, and let's do it again.
Yeah. I'm let's ready. Do it again. Let's see who's next. And, and again, I've loved all four albums that you know, that they've gotten together on, and I'm ready for her to kind of pick it up. And that, I feel like that's a good segue too into track eight, which is another one of her collabs on this. And this is like the collab I feel like everybody knew that they needed and are like finally happy to have. It's a song called Florida, and it's her collab with Florence and the Machine. And I think that she must be such an amazing collaborator because you can totally hear Florence in this. I'm a huge Florence and the Machine fan. And so is my daughter. I think Florence is probably Taylor Swift for my daughter. Ivy loves Florence. And so whenever she first heard this song, this was the first track she went to, of course, she said, she was like, oh, it kind of sounds like Daffodil, a Florence song off of Dance Fever, that has like that drum, that kind of heavy drum beat that we get a little bit here in Florida. So I think that it just tells me she must be such a great collaborator, because you can almost like, with even without hearing the Florence Welch vocals, you can kind of like, you almost know like who she's collaborating with a little bit
by the sound, for sure. This is it's funny because I don't know, this came out of the blue for me, but this is the song I've listened to most.
Okay.
But the first time I listened to it, I was like, Florida, you know, because I am all about her personal life. And right. I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I like Florida. I need a vacation and timeshare in Florida, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And then I listened to it again and again and again. I'm singing it all the time. I am just, you know, beaten with that drum, and just it's consumed me. And I mean, I don't want to say it, but right now it's my favorite song on the whole album.
It's a really good one. I like Florida as well. Again, I love this collaboration. I love them together. And I feel like, you know, if we think back to when she announced the breakup, it was at a Florida concert. Yes. And so I'm like, I think there's a whole lot in here. And this is also, I believe it's this one. And then there's one other song on I Can Fix Him. No, Really, I Can.
Yes.
Where she shouts out Texas. I'm like, oh, our girls shouting out Texas. And so then of course, like I immediately, I'm like, she's talking about us.
Yes. I did too. And yeah, cause we're best friends. Right. So, no, yes. I don't know. Is it in Florida? It's not in Florida where she shouts out Texas. Is it?
She says something about it in Florida. She says something about it. And then in I Can Fix Him, I Really Can. Where she like talks a little bit more about Texas, but yeah, she talks about something about the dumpster fire in Texas or something. Yes, I don't remember what happened, but she does. There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, Florida, it's my tops right now. And I did go deep diving into what all this means in the song.
Oh. So
I've learned a lot, if it's true, you know, TikTok. So,
right. Enlighten us.
Just something about, I saw a TikTok about how it's something where she invited Maddie Healy to Florida, but nothing had happened between them yet or something. And there's something about, you haven't put your hands on me yet or something in there. But she's been called a cheater. So they're saying because she had possibly, there was an overlap between Joe and Maddie. But nothing had happened between them. But then she said, let's go to Florida. And, and maybe that's when all that started. So I don't know if it's true. It's just the rabbit hole I went down with Florida, trying to figure out what all this means, because that's what she does to me. I have to dig into her lyrics and say,
same.
What does this mean, my friend? You know?
Same exact thing. Well, and then I think that you're right, because then you go into track 9, which is Guilty as Sin, where she talks about imagining a relationship before it, you know, like she hasn't done anything, but it feels like she has, because she's like obsessing and having like all of the thoughts, which is kind of like a super fun part of a relationship. Like we've both been like long time married girl, but I can remember back to like that time when you're like, ooh, you know, you're having like all the thoughts in your head about what's this going to be like? How's this going to be? What's it going to be like when we do this? You know, like,
and is that cheating? She didn't do anything, but some people might think that's cheating when your brain is with somebody else that you're still in a relationship. So she was feeling guilty about that, I think. I don't know. I could go on.
For sure. Well, and then, you know, and then we get into, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on track 10, because I feel like this is kind of an anger track here. We've got some definite feelings happening in Who's Afraid of Little Old Me.
I love this one too.
I do too. This is like great production on this song. Mm-hmm. I love the way they produced it. And for me also, this felt like a version of look what you made me do, that a 30-year-old would sing versus a 20-year-old.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Yes. Reputation is my number one album. And I probably, because there's a lot of anger. I'm not an angry person, people.
At all.
I get it out through these songs. And this definitely felt like that to me. And I will be singing this one screaming in my car as well.
Same.
It's one of those. Yeah. Love it.
I love this one. Yeah. This is like almost like the man, like this is her, like in her boss mode, like, this one. And again, as we get to the end, but, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart also is like, for me, like her boss mode.
Oh. Ooh, yeah. Love it.
So good.
Truly empowering when I listen to those songs.
Yes. 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 And then I can do it. I can do anything. And then, you know, she takes us through again. We're going, I can fix him. No, really, I can. We talked about this one. This is, you know, I love a story song. She's great at a story song. You know, she shouts out our home state of Texas in that one. So I feel like, you know, as you get into like, I can fix him. No, I really can. LOML. I can do it with a broken heart. Like, here's where I feel like she kind of like, she backs off a little bit and we get some familiar sounding tracks. And then I feel like she puts her foot on the gas again and just like takes us home with the back half of the album where you're like, oh, LOML.
That broke me.
Oh, I'm like, I'm a sucker for a T-Swift piano song. I said it at the beginning. New Year's Day is my favorite. You know it, Eras. I was like, please let our bonus track be New Year's Day. Please, please, please. It wasn't.
Yes.
But, like this is almost my new version of New Year's Day, like LOML.
It's if anybody has ever had a broken heart, this one speaks to you, I think. And it's in a big way. And I just, to me, it was another Closure Joe song, you know, just, I don't know. It's just heartbreaking and I feel it. I feel it in my bones and everything she says, didn't know how to put into words your feelings. She does it for you. And it's, anybody who's ever had a broken heart, please listen to this song.
That's a good one. Well, and like, I keep coming back to this lyric too, better safe than starry eyed. I'm like, oh,
I know. And this is the one where it says I've like wasted my youth basically on you. And I mean, I've felt that before. It's just like just wasting your time with a relationship you have put so much effort into and love and yourself. And then it's just like, crap, you know, why did I do that? You know,
always.
I think it's like, she's pissed about that. And I have felt that before, and I know millions of other people have too. And it's like, you did this to me. You wasted my youth. You know, you wasted
all this my time. Best years.
Yeah, so that spoke to me on this one too.
Same. I love this one. Yeah. I love it. And then she moves on. Right. That's what I love about our girl. Yeah. She takes us through. Yep. And then she hits us with like the confidence that we all wish we had with I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I mean, this, and I think this song, like as I get into track 13, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart and sort of ride out these last few tracks. This is where I decided. And I mean, it stands to reason because it's her most recent, but this is her most mature album to me, right?
Like 100%. This
one, I feel like, you know, this is her saying like, I know who I am now. Like I'm not beholden to the public. I love my fans. By this point, they have to know that, you know, she does everything for her fans. Like, and I feel like she's just coming to a point where she feels like really safe, really secure in who she is and what she can do. And just her impact, like her cultural impact. And that must be such a challenging thing to absorb as like a mid-30s person. I can't even imagine. So I just, I think this is where I just really, again, started to like, just be in awe of her genius once again, you know, like.
Well, something that even, like, talk about being in awe of her genius. She wrote on her Instagram, I don't know if you read all her posts, but that right as she, at 11 o'clock our time, when she released it, can I read what she wrote? Because
oh my gosh, like, Yes, you can, because you know what? I have it screenshotted on my phone as well. I know you're going to read the exact same thing that I took a picture of too. So yes, well, please. It's like,
she's talking about the album, and
it's the same.
I can't see it, but probably
it's the same thing.
So I'm just going to read it because, again, she's a master at putting into words what everybody else can't. So this is what she wrote. The Tortured Poets Department, an anthology of new works that reflect events, opinions, and sentiments from a fleeting and fatalistic moment in time. One that was both sensational and sorrowful in equal measure. This period of the author's life is now over. This is just what you were saying. She can pack it up and go, you know. The chapter closed and boarded up. There is nothing to avenge, no scores to settle once wounds have healed. And upon further reflection, a good number of them turned out to be self-inflicted. This writer is of the firm belief that our tears become holy in the form of ink on a page. I know, tears.
I'm glad you read it because I can't. No. Oh,
I have chills all over. This writer is of the firm belief that our tears become holy in the form of ink on a page. Once we have spoken our saddest story, we can be free of it. And then all that's left behind is the tortured poetry.
I'm literally like a mess. Look at this. We're like two grown ass women bawling. Bawling over a Taylor Swift Instagram post that I've read 100 times because I have it screenshotted here on my phone.
Screenshot. I was like, I've got to share this. I have got to share
it. It's amazing.
I just read that and was like, no words. No words. And I'm going to admit this, but back in the day, in my younger days, I wrote. Anytime that something happened to me, I wrote, and a lot of it was poetry. And so all of that stuff she wrote, so, you know, right there, that our tears become holy in the form of ink on a page. Mm. I mean, that's how I survived the teenage years.
Yeah.
With my words on a page. And that's how I move on. And that's how I close. And that is what this album is for her.
Yes.
She closed that 6-year chapter with Joe. The rebound, I'm going to call him the rebound. She closed that rebound, and it does hurt too, those rebounds, you know, as she has told us here. And she's like, I'm a boss. I can do this. I'm done. I'm closing it. It's over. I did what I needed to do to get it all out and pack it up, like you said, and move on. And she's done. And I'm like, I can do that too, you know, like,
yes,
anything I'm holding on to, this album is going to help me pack it up and move on.
Let it go.
Your bosses too, right?
It's so true. It's so true. And again, I think it just speaks to like, people are like, why do you like her? Why do so many people like her? It's that. It's because I can't read an Instagram post from many people 100 times and cry 100 times. Like, she knows how to put her feelings into words like nobody else. And I think it encourages all of us to do that because it really is a way. It's such a great way to just literally get it out of your system and process. Yeah. Yes. To cleanse it. And, you know, and then, you know, I love too that she takes us to this like very mature place. I can do it with a broken heart. It's boss. And then she does though. Like, I love this about her too. She's so real. Cause she then takes like one final little stab at Maddie with the smallest man who ever lived.
Love.
And I was like, you know what?
That, cause it was
even, I know. I'm like, but that's how, like, I don't know many people, honestly, that are so good and pure of heart that if there's like a last little dig to take, they're not going to take it. She didn't hurt anybody with it, but she put it out there.
Wouldn't do it. Yeah. That's right? What I also love about it. She's got the confidence to be like, I'm thinking this. I wrote this. Do I share it? Heck yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You know?
I do. Boom. Yeah.
What does so she have I love. To lose? She's done here. I'm letting it all out there and I'm done. Yep.
And I'm finished. So I love that she takes us there. And then we get into current state with track 15.
Yes.
The Alchemy. Here we go. Back to Travis. So like we do, I think we have to weigh in on Travis. Like I am in love. I'm obsessed with this pairing. Are you?
I am too. I think it, Well, I used to not think very much of him, but then I just saw the surface. I saw him interrupting Patrick Mahomes' speech at the Super Bowl. And, you know, I was just like, it just icked me. But then, you know, I obviously started paying attention to him when he and Taylor got together, and he's a family guy. He's got a huge heart. I think he truly loves her. And this silly side that Taylor has, he has it too. And he brings that out in her. And, you know, you do see Taylor silly in her songs, you know, a lot of her songs.
Yes.
And like you said, this is a more mature, so there's not much on this album. You know, she does have some of her silly in there, but he brings that out in her. And I think that got lost in Joe.
Yeah. And Joe seemed really serious.
Serious, yeah. And Taylor definitely has that serious side to her. Sure. She's a multifaceted person, I think, as a lot of us are, but I love that fun, immature side of her.
Me too.
He brings that out. I think they can be two people who can have so much fun in life, but also have that serious side too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's used to supporting a team, right? I like that he's a tight end, yes, right? Like his whole job is literally like supporting a power team, right? And I think that she needs somebody that is a star in their own right, but is also used to like supporting other stars, like that, you know, the whole Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes situation, like they're both, yes, like it, one doesn't work without the other almost. And I feel like he's okay to be the supporting character, you know, to her, but also an equal partner. So
that is not what she had. And you're right. Yeah. I'm sure that is a huge attraction for her. And for us as fans, we're like, yes, this is what she needs. And I do love that about Travis. He's definitely not me. I mean, he loves limelight, you know, but
of course
he can share it. You are so right on that part.
So I love that. Well, then we round it out with the last track from just, again, we're not talking anthology, just Tortured Poets Department as it came out, which is another focus track for me. The final track on the original album is called Clara Bow, referencing our old-timey actress. And, you know, she teased this with her look at the Grammys, which I also loved. People had feelings about it. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. But this song for me, again, anyone who's ever listened to the show even once knows that before Taylor Swift was even born, one of my first musical loves was the Eagles, Eagles.
Yes, I know that about you.
And so it's very true, very true. And Clara Bow to me reminded me of like a modern version of New Kid in Town. So if you're familiar with the song New Kid in Town, this was like a modern retelling of that for me, which is funny because it's using a very old timey celebrity to tell the story. But this is what that felt like. And that last, you know, the last section of the song where it says she kind of goes through like who people are trying to make her be like. And then she says, "You look like Taylor Swift in this light. We're loving it. You've got edge she never did. The future's bright. Dazzling," you know, where you're just like, it's like, yes, she's everything everybody's talking about right now, but there's going to be somebody new that comes along, you know, and it's going to be the same, like they're going to build that person up in the same way that she's been built up. And I love that she's not afraid to sort of acknowledge like this business is fickle, you know, like you can be on top one day and on the bottom the next, and it sort of just blows with the breeze. And so I love that she tackled that. Especially when she's in the height of her career, right? Like people can't get enough of her, and she's still like, you know, willing to go there with a track like this. Of course, I love the Stevie Nicks references, you know.
I know. Yes.
Makes me so happy.
With the names. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And just that aesthetic. I mean, anybody who's ever seen me, I have like the full like shaggy hairdo and like the I'm like loving the 70s vibe that's coming back right now. But I just think this this does a great job of sort of like the up and down side of fame, you know, the excitement and the realization of the reality of being famous, like the expectations and half the people rooting for you and the other half wanting you to fail. Like it just, I felt like this song really like summed all of that up in a really beautiful way.
Yes, you are so correct on that one. It was another one that I listened to for the first time and I liked just the sound of it. You know, I was like, yeah. I think I'm going to like this song. You know, I think you can listen, you know whether something's going to stick with you or not, you know. And it was one of them. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be listening to this one over and over.
For sure. For sure. Oh, Heather. Thank you so much for going on this journey with me. You're the only person that I really would love, you know, like when it comes time to chat Taylor Swift, like you're my gal always. We had our special eras moment together and forever that will live.
I wore my sweatshirt.
Yay! See, and look, you can't see mine. I've got my trash takes itself out every single time, right? There we go.
Love that line. Oh,
love it.
If I had just thought of that back in the day, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's mine.
What a comeback. Yeah.
It's the best. It's so the best. So I love it. I love it. I love it.
I am.
Well, as it has been for the past 30 plus years, it was a pleasure speaking with you again.
Yes. So fun, Jen. Thank you very much for having me on again. It's always fun.
So welcome. And listeners, to check out Heather's online boutique and learn when new collections drop, you can follow her on Instagram at Hello50. That's HELLOFIVE _OH. So definitely check that out. I've been a frequent shopper, I'm happy to admit, and have always been happy with everything that comes. So definitely give that a check. Check that out. And as always, please be sure to follow, download, and share this show. And if you love listening, drop a review on Apple or Spotify for us. And last but not least, to stay informed on all things Super Awesome Mix and What Are You Listening To, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Super Awesome Mix. Thanks again for listening, and please join me again next week to find your new favorite song.